You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 through 31. I've entitled our message, Unwrapping the Gifts of the Spirit, and this is part three of a four-part series. This morning, the five spiritual gifts that we are going to look at are probably the easiest to palate, the least controversial of all of them. They also all seem to be tied together, mercy, help, serving, encouraging, and giving. So let's pray before we begin. Father, we just ask right now that you would be here in our midst, that you would speak to us, and that you would give us clarity of thought. Father, that our hearts would be open, and Lord, that we would just shake off all the muck and the grime of this world that we seem to accumulate. From service to service, as we come, Lord, for the washing of the water of the Word. And Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we're going to springboard off this, just so you know. We're really not going to pick this apart, per se, like I normally do. We're just going to use this as a springboard. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And by the way, the answer to that is no, we don't all do those things. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. Now, we're not going to be able to get into what the more excellent way is, but I just want to I want to dab on it very briefly. This is the ending right here of chapter 12. Chapter 13, if you're familiar with your Bible, is known as the love chapter. That's right. So what is more valuable than all the spiritual gifts? Hey, I didn't even have to ask. But the problem in the church, the problem in my heart, in our heart, is that often when we think of love, we think of loving those who love us. And if you don't love me, don't expect me to love you. That's not scriptural love. Scriptural love says, you know what? You've heard, love your enemies. Love your, who? Enemies. Bless those who curse you. Try that one. Now, as I said, we're going to, as we look at this, although today we're not going to focus on love, although all the gifts, by the way, all the gifts are to move us to a place of demonstrating and exhibiting deeper godly love. But this morning, I said we're going to do a lot of scriptures, and some people complain. I've actually had people say they didn't like the fact that I used so many scriptures. Well, once again, I need to establish this. The reason I use a lot of scriptures is because we are a church. And church is supposed to be about the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is Jesus and Jesus is the Bible. That's what it says in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us? In Jesus Christ. So here at HBC, we use the Word of God because we are a church that believes in the Word of God. Now, we are talking this morning about spiritual gifts. Where? In the body of Christ, in the church. Now, when I think about that last night when I was praying and doing my study, I thought about the body. You know, I have a brain, I think. And you have a brain. We have a brain in our body. And our brain, we need it because it sends out electrical impulses that allows us to blink and breathe and move our hands and thought and all those things. And then we have a heart that is constantly pumping. And here's the thing. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to go, okay, pump. Okay, pump again. Okay, keep pumping. I don't have to. It just does it. Why? Because my brain is working, I think. And then we have lungs. Lungs that are gathering oxygen and spewing out the stuff we don't need and hanging on to the stuff that we need in order to function. And then we have kidneys that are filtering. And I don't have to tell them to filter. They just do it. And then I have a skeletal structure. Stop. Okay, then I have a skeletal structure that kind of gives all everything else a place to rest. And I have skin, an elastic outer capsule. And so do you. And all of those things make up my body and your body. And there's more. I'm just kind of hitting on some basics. But you know what happens in the church? It's people who will come in and say, I don't know, I'm not a part, I don't fit in. Well, why? Well, I'm different. Yes, you are, thank God. It's like a vein saying, well, I'm not skin. Nobody sees me. I'm not important. I don't want to be a part of the body, right? Or a muscle saying, you can't see me. You can feel me. You can't see. It would be like you came into church this morning, and then you look on the ground, and there's this thing crawling away. And it's like, what is that? Oh, that's Pastor Randy's spleen. He doesn't want to go to church today. He doesn't feel like a part of the body. Listen, that's what happens when people who belong in the church, who belong apart, and they say, I don't feel like I belong. Look around. You can, I guess. But we're all different. We are all so different. It's wonderful how different we are. In fact, I'll tell you this. If it was not for Jesus Christ, I bet that this crowd, this group of people, we wouldn't be meeting together if it were not for Jesus Christ. You wouldn't hang around with me. I don't know where the joke was in that, but hey, have at. There are people here sitting next to each other that outside of God's Spirit moving in you, you wouldn't be sitting there if it was not for the Holy Spirit and for Jesus Christ. And because you and I are so different, guess what the Holy Spirit does? He gives us different combinations of gifts. He uses us. He uses my differences and your differences to bring a church together so that one of us can be veins and another kidney, another a heart, another lungs, and some of us brains. No, I'm just teasing. See, the church isn't a factory trying to replicate cookie-cutter Christians. That's not what we're about, folks. Yet there is a, think about this. In all of our bodies, we all have the same common denominator. You know what that is?
Blood.
Blood. Blood, I need blood from that. That's what my kidneys are filtering. Blood goes to my bones to keep them strong, and my heart is pumping the blood, and my brain needs blood. That's why the Bible says the life is in the blood. And guess what? Finally, science caught up in recent centuries and said, oh, yeah, I guess the life is in the blood. But guess what? In the body of Christ, there's also a common denominator, blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that binds us together, that allows each one of us to function the way we should function. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. That at the time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, so that was us prior to Christ, prior to the blood. But now in Christ Jesus, who you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So see, folks, though we are all so different, and outside of this building, we probably wouldn't have ever met or come together. Because of the blood of Christ, we have a common denominator, and that blood of Christ then becomes the very lifeblood of the church. Now, once you become a part of the body, then there comes the fact that God wants to impart to you the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is God. He wants to give you himself. Now, I like what A.W. Tozer wrote. He said this: if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from church today, 95% of what we were doing would go on, and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been drawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everyone would know the difference. Imagine this. A.W. Tozer passed away in 1963. So he was talking about the church back then. What would he say about the church today? Folks, the Holy Spirit, as we're going to unravel and unwrap this morning, as we unwrap the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to be active in your life so that he can do a powerful work in all of our lives here in the church. Why? Because we're joined and knitted together when each one does its part. And it's the lifeblood that flows through us that allows us to be that heart pumping in the church, that breath of fresh air in the church, that skeletal that holds everything together, that elastic skin that is able to expand and contract and do and be flexible. It's amazing. And so, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, hey, I'm not important because I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand. Listen, the eye can only see, but the eye needs the hand to obtain. And the hand can't obtain without being able to see. That's how you and I come together in the church. So here's the important thing. Today and this week, through this series, these last couple of weeks, my desire is for you to start asking, what is my gift? What are my gifts, plural? Do you know? Well, let's, once again, I told you that at each session, I would give you the list of spiritual gifts. And I said, if you didn't get them the first time, you can write a couple more down the second time. And today, you can write a couple more. I'm going to give you the list rather quickly. But I'll give them again when we go to the fourth part. Okay, here they are. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now today we're going to look at mercy, helps, serving, encouraging, and giving, and how these work. Now, understand this. Then in the whole list of gifts, the first gift that you and I all receive is faith. We can do nothing without faith. We can't even have salvation without faith. That's the first step in salvation. First step in salvation is to have faith in whom? Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, along with Jesus, we must remember this, and this is so important. Please hear me. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. Please repeat after me. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. It blows my mind. I was talking to one person a while back, a few years back, and they were telling me, oh, I went to this service, and the Holy Spirit was so thick in the room, it was like he was dripping from the ceiling. It's like, the Holy Spirit is not a drip. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit wants to live in you. and equip you. So, the question, I hope you have, why do I need to be filled with the Spirit? And then my question would be, why wouldn't you want to be? If the Holy Spirit is God, why wouldn't you want God residing in your heart? If God is all-powerful, all-knowing, if omniscient, if he's all these wonderful things, and he is love, and he is passionate and kind, and all these things, why wouldn't you want that in your life? Oh, unless you don't truly believe. So the first question, why do I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to answer that momentarily. But why do I need the gifts of the Spirit? Well, let me answer both those questions. Because God created you and me for a purpose. He has a purpose for you and me. So what is he going to do? He's going to equip you for the purpose that he has for your life. How cool is that? God wants me to do things to bring him glory. And he says, listen, Randy, I'm not going to just leave it up to you to do it. I'm going to equip you with my Spirit so you can do it supernaturally. High-octane Randy. I used to be low-octane. In fact, I was no-octane. I was broke down on the side of the road, and I didn't know it. I was rusting, ready for the junkyard. And God breathed life into me. And that's what he wants to do in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Actually, I made a boo-boo. Actually, we're going to look at 12 and 13, but you can start with Philippians verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, that's important, folks, to having the Holy Spirit, not quenching the Holy Spirit, we have to always obey. Not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God, listen to this, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So he fills you with his Spirit so he can work out of you his good pleasure, which in turn becomes your good pleasure and becomes the source of blessings. So hang on to this. First, he saves you from eternal damnation and death. Yay, awesome, unbelievable. He brings life into you. Then he gives you the Holy Spirit, his omnipotent power to make you more than a conqueror. Wow, bonus, I would say incredible bonus. So that you can do his good pleasure, which brings him glory. You get to be a part of bringing God glory, the one who is the epitome of glory, and you get to be a part of that. Hello. And then out of that flows more blessings. God is a God who just keeps giving. Do you get that impression? When he gives, you go, wow. And then what does he do? Gives more. And you go, wow. And he goes, I'm not done. He gives more. You're like, whoa, this can it get any better? Oh, yeah, it can. Why? Because I'm God. Well, not me, but him. You know what I mean. Listen, when you come to God, it only gets better and better. That's why it blows my mind that I waited so long to surrender my life to Christ. It's like I wasted so many good years. So we'll be filled because we have a purpose, his purpose, and he wants to equip us to do his purpose. And by the way, your gifting, my gifting, our gifting is not for a selfish purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, listen to this, for the profit of all. So the gifts that you're given, the gifts that I'm given, it's not for me to hoard. It's not so I go home and say, you know, sit on my couch and go, look at all the gifts I got. No, it's so that I would come and be a part of this body and then do my part. That I'm not the spleen crawling out the door saying, I'm not a part of the body. No, this, every part of our body has a purpose. Do you know what your purpose is in this body? Imagine what happens to my body if my lungs don't do their part. Right now, my lungs just said, I'm done. I'd die. I couldn't speak the word of God. I couldn't pray. Well, I could pray for you as I die. I would. But it would, or if my bones just decided to turn to mush right now. What a sight that would be. What part of the body are you? And are you functioning? Are you like that spleen, trying to crawl out of here? I'm not a part of the body. Yes, you are. Well, I'm not seen. So what? No one can see my heart, but my gosh, am I thankful for it. But it's for the profit of all. If you're a believer, you've been given gifts so that everyone can profit in and out of the church. Let's look at mercy as we unwrap some more spiritual gifts. Merry Christmas. Now, mercy is closely linked with the gift of encouragement. Actually, a lot of these gifts, you're going to see they kind of overlap. That's why I put them together. They're not quite as distinct as some of the others. The gift of mercy becomes obvious in those who are grateful for the mercy they've been given. You see, that's where the gift of mercy comes from. In my life, you know, I recognize this. I was such a horrific sinner yesterday. And before I was saved, you know, drugs, alcohol, sex, just depraved, just disgusting. And then I got saved, and God says, it doesn't matter what you've done. I'm willing to forgive you. So then what happens is someone comes to me that is struggling with those same sins. Guess what I do? I show them mercy because I, too, was once there, and I know how God forgave me. And I go, God can forgive you, brother, sister. Let me pray for you. Let me show you mercy, not condemnation. Mercy. The gift of mercy, the person with the gift of mercy shows sympathy and sensitivity to the sins of the other. Why? Because just like Paul, I know this. I don't care what sins you've committed, my sins are worse because I know all of my sins. I only know one or two of yours. So I'm worse sinner than you, and God has shown me mercy and grace. So when I am thankful for that, guess what I show? Mercy and grace back. And that purely comes by having faith in God. It starts with faith. And what happens is the person with the gift of mercy seeks to reconcile the sinner, whether the sin was against them or whether it was against another. The person with the gift of mercy wants to bring mercy to everyone involved. They become a minister of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians, actually, I'm only going to look at 20 and 21. I gave them again the wrong, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I said 11 through 21. I'm not going to do that many verses, but let's only look at 20 and 21. I changed my mind at the last minute. So now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this. This is speaking to you. If you're a believer, 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21 says this. Now then, we, believers, are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So here's the thing. When I recognize that I've been shown mercy and that Christ became my sin for me, I'm like, people, you got to hear this. This is extended to you as well. You can have salvation. He can have all your sins wiped away because of the blood of Christ and because of what he did on the cross. How cool is that? So the person with the gift of mercy is showing mercy to those who need mercy. Now, here's a gift. All these gifts on this list, by the way, that we're looking at today, these are gifts that we actually all get, just in different measure. It is up to every believer once you've been saved, to share the salvation with other people, to show them mercy, the mercy that was shown you. You know, I often say this, if everyone in this room had the Ebola virus and I had the cure and I didn't share it with you, could I say, oh, I love you guys, bye, enjoy your Ebola, have a big bowl of Ebola. No. If you have the Ebola virus and I found the cure, guess what I'm going to do? People, I found the cure. You don't have to die the horrific death. Guess what I found? The cure to sin, which is far worse than the Ebola virus. The Ebola virus is a sniffle compared to what sin does eternally. And so we're all called to have that mercy. We're all called to do that. One quote says this, "The Holy Spirit, thank God, often enables people to forgive even though they are not sure how they did it." You ever have that? Someone just did something so horrendous to you, and you look at them and say, I just forgive them. I knew I was a Christian the day someone hurt me so horrifically, and I could actually look them in the eye and say, I love you and I forgive you. And I looked in the mirror and I said, who are you? The old Randy was all about fists and feet. Let's fight. Let's get this. We'll settle this out in the street. But the new Randy was able to forgive, and I knew. I was like, I looked at, I just forgave that person. And God goes, yeah, by my power. And I go, I know. Wasn't my power. And what I find is the longer I work with God, the longer God works on me, the more I'm able to forgive and show mercy. Wow. God bless you. That was cool. That was a stealth one. They felt it coming on. They put a silencer on. That was neat. I didn't know they made silencers for sneezes. When I sneeze, it's an event. First two rows, you know, it's like have to bring up the plastic like Gallagher was here or something. Okay, unwrapping the spiritual gifts. Let's look at helps. I'm sorry, I digress. Now, the gift of helps, that sounds weird. Well, hey, what's your gift? I got the gift of helps. Okay. Well, the other day I helped someone move. That's a gift of helps. That's not the gift. That's different. I used to help people move before I was a Christian. The gift, all these gifts, by the way, before you're saved, there are people who are compassionate and loving and kind before they are saved. And then they get saved and people go, oh, they're so godly. So listen, that's wonderful, and I love people like that, but your gifts are going to be opposite of who you were before you were saved. If you've always been a nice person, loving and caring, and then you got saved, you can't say, well, gosh, that person has the spirit of helps and mercy. No, that's just their disposition. The Spirit, when he moves in you, he's going to move you in a direction that you know that it's not you, that you know it was him, and that everyone around you goes, that's not Randy. That's some other dude. Yeah, it's God. Now, real quick, I used to perform, used to be a singer, and the last time I ever sang, I was at the Tropicana. It was years ago, right here in Laughlin. And my band, I had been with this band for like 6 years, 5 or 6 years, and we spent a lot of time together. But in the last 2 years of before I ended my career, because of God asked me to stop, I had gotten saved. And the last time I went to Laughlin to perform there, the band said, Randy, they pulled me aside. They said, we don't know what to do with you. I said, what do you mean? They said, you're not the same guy. We don't even know how to talk to you. Because they felt the conviction of their sin, because I was all about Jesus now. The cool thing is half of them got saved in that last visit with them. But the thing was, is they saw, you're not the same guy. You're not that on edge, overly cocky jerk. You're kind of nice. We don't know what to do with the nice Randy. We got comfortable with the rude Randy. Where is he? So the gift of helps, related to mercy, the gift of helps assists others in the church with compassion and grace. The gift of helps, the ability to help those who struggle with doubt, fear, and spiritual battles. And how do we do that? Well, of course, once again, we show them mercy, we show them grace, and we take them to Scripture. People with the gift of helps seem more understanding and compassionate. They speak scriptural truth that both convicts and is loving at the same time. You see, that's what help really is. Think about help. What is the greatest need in the world today? Jesus. So if you have the gift of helps, guess what you're going to be doing? Sharing the mercy of God. That's why these are all kind of tied in together. I think of one great example, though. Let's get practical, though. Let's apply helps to something that we can sink our teeth into. Turn with me to Exodus 17, or jot it down, whichever you want to do. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 13. Exodus 17, verse 8 says this. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men and go out, fight Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became weary. Now remember, Moses is over 80 years old. Have you ever tried to stand with nothing in your hand? Just stand and lift your hands over your head. How long can you do that for? Let alone if you're over 80 years old. Pushing, 100, something like that. So his arms got heavy, plus he's holding a rod, the rod of God in his hand. But Moses' hand became heavy. Could have been hairy too, I don't know. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hand, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So here's the thing. Aaron and Hur, they had the gift of helps at that moment. Even though they didn't have the Spirit in them, they were displaying a gift that would future be from the Holy Spirit. See, when you have the gift of helps, you're seeking victory, but for the greater cause, not just for yourself. Without pride or ambition. Listen, they're holding up Moses' hand, and who is getting the centerpiece? Well, of course, it's God, but God through Moses. And Aaron and Hur aren't sitting there going, "Well, it was us. If we hadn't been there, they were." No, they're just like, whatever victory comes. And Joshua's fighting the battle, but they still gave the credit to the fact that Moses was being obedient. Listen, when you have the gift of helps, you're not looking to get the praise. You're not looking to see people go, "Oh, man, look at the gift he has." No, you're using it for the greater cause, for the whole of the body. Now, you might be asking, and I hope you are, "Pastor Randy, so what's the best way to display the gift of helps?" Pray. Pray. Pray, I believe, is the greatest expression of help. You know what we say sometimes? Someone will be hurt and will say, "You know what? I don't know what to do, but at least I can pray." Wrong. That's not the least you can do. Prayer is the most we can do. Why? Because prayer invokes God. It calls upon the power of God. And that you can't get a better help. Not at all. Not only that, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. You don't have to turn there. You can just jot it down. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Therefore he," also, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who came to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What does Jesus always live to do? Intercede. Intercede. And if we are Christians, Christ-like, what are we to do? Intercede. Prayer isn't the least we can do. It's the most we can do. It's the greatest of the helps. But and here's the thing. Oftentimes, if I'm in prayer for you, you know what it does? It ignites me to a physical action. Because my heart now in my prayer for you becomes bent. Now it's like, well, what can I do, God? And sometimes God will tell me, hey, you know, go over and hug them or go over and visit or go do this thing or that thing. What happens is when you have the gift of helps, you enter into prayer for that person. And then that shows you what you can do to assist them. I love what Andrew Murray says. He says this. If the spiritual life be healthy under the full power of the Holy Spirit, praying without ceasing will be natural. I love that. Let's look at serving as we unwrap some more spiritual gifts. Serving can be also called ministering. Denotes service of any kind. Practically speaking, it means to serve those in need. You know, here at HBC, I don't know if you notice this, but we always tend to say this. We don't say we have need of servants. We say we have an opportunity to serve. Why? Well, because it is an opportunity for you or for me to get involved and then allow the expression of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. And also, you begin to have an opportunity to find out what spiritual gifts you have. So every now and then we slip and we say, hey, we have need, but we really don't have need. What we have is opportunity. Philemon chapter 1, one of my favorite verses when it deals with servants, says this. Philemon chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. And I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer, hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. You see, the purpose of our expression of the Holy Spirit is that the hearts of the saints would be refreshed. Service, practically speaking, is coming in and blessing others and refreshing the hearts. And at the same time, you get the blessing of discovering what spiritual gifts God wants to actively use you for. Service of any kind, practically speaking, means to meet the needs of others. Actually, it means to help. There you go. See, service is also tied to helps, which comes from mercy because you had faith. You see how all these gifts are kind of tied together? And we all should have them in operation. Why? Because we're all a part of the body of Christ. However, the reason why we say we don't say that we have need is because we don't have the need you do. You have the need. The need is for you to develop and understand your grow and understand how God wants to use you. So actually it is a need, but it's not for us, it's for you. So often, the body, the people in the church, don't recognize their need to be a part of the body, to be the lung, to be the hand, to be the foot, to be the eye, to be the brain, whatever. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable. Oh, yeah. Why? here you go, folks. Why is it our reasonable service? Well, it's reasonable when you take into consideration the service that Jesus Christ has rendered unto you. The service he has rendered unto you. He says this, he says, continues in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? That you would be saved by Jesus Christ. Here's the perfect will of God. That you would first be saved by Jesus Christ. That's his will. How do we know this? Because he came and he died for you. That you would be, after you're saved, that you would be filled with the Spirit. Why? To fulfill his purpose. And that you would then, in turn, hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, it's talking about faithfulness. So the problem in the church is so many people want to be faithful, but they're not faithful. They're unfaithful. Unfaithful in so many different areas. But God wants to pour his Spirit out in you and me so that we can be faithful. It's all up to us to unwrap the gifts. Let's look at the gift of encouraging. Now, if you're showing mercy, if you're serving, all the byproducts of that is going to be that if you have the gift of helps, if you have all these working in you just a little bit, guess what you're going to be? Encouraging. All of these, like I said, once again, they're kind of tied together. Here's what Proverbs 25:11 says. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken, fitly spoken. That's the key. You see, sometimes we'll say a word that isn't fitly spoken, but it's what we think somebody wants to hear. That's not fitly spoken. Fitly spoken means we're going to share the truth in love. Sometimes even the truth, even though it hurts. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We need to encourage one another, folks. We need to stir one another up to love and good works. You see, the reason why we come into the church is because I don't know about you, but out there, I get beat up. I get dragged down. I come in here sometimes and I feel like I got 10 pounds of mud on me from the world. And I come in and I get washed by the water of the word. And I get encouraged by y'all, and y'all encourage me, and I encourage you. And it goes back and forth. I love people sometimes on my way up to teach. They're like, let me pray for you. I'm like, yeah, go for it. I need to get some of this mud off me. It's so important. Are you encouraging? Sometimes we come into church and we're like, you know, no one encouraged me today. Maybe God wants to use you to encourage others. You know, I get the most encouragement when I'm blessing others. I get more encouragement from that. That's why Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. Besides that, I'm not a very good receiver. I'm terrible at it, actually. Let's look at the last gift, although we're going to have a little bit of time in here and then in our closing, but giving. Now, this one, of this group here, this is one that so many churches harp on every single Sunday, giving, 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 giving. Like, you would think that that was really the only gift. Here at I don't know about here, but the church shouldn't just be about giving of finances. There's other things to give. Give encouragement. Give prayer. Give mercy. Give forgiveness. Give reconciliation. Give Jesus. There's so many, but so many churches focus on the giving of offerings. Now, here's the thing. In the Bible, it does say, folks, that we should give unto the Lord our finances. But the Bible also says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're going to go and say, you know what, my gift is giving, and then every time you put in or every time you're going to make an offering or do anything, you're kind of like, oh, I guess I better give my percentage here. I was like, oh, God, I really don't want to do this. Then don't do it. Don't do it. God wants you to give when you go, you know what, Lord, oh, glory to you, God. And he's like, yeah. You know, I remember when I first got saved. I wasn't making a lot of money. I'd quit entertainment, and you know, I got my job. You know where I got a job? I was working at a Maverick. It's called Diamond Shamrock in Houston, but it's just like a Maverick. And I was working graveyard for minimum wage. And I'd sit there and go, God, really? Give up that so that I can come here and, sell Slurpees. Wonderful. And finances were tight. I'll tell you, I had an apartment, no furniture. I had kids. Desiree was a baby in diapers. We had no furniture. I'm not kidding. When I say no furniture, we slept on the floor. We got a table that someone threw out, and it had three different chairs, only three. It had three, and they did not match. I put them in there. Hey, we were happy. We got a table. Woo-hoo! And it was sad because many nights I had to wake up and kill the mice with my shoe so they wouldn't get on my kids. But it came a point where I was listening and read my Bible, and the Lord said, you believe in me? I was like, yeah, Lord, I believe in you. How come you don't trust me with your finances? Because I don't have any. He goes, yeah, you have a job. I go, yeah, but Lord, every month we come up short. So maybe because you don't believe me. I went to my wife. I said, here's what the Lord is telling me. So here's what we're going to do. I know we don't have money, but what we do have, we're going to take right off the top. She goes, right off the top? I get right off the top. Well, how are we going to make it? I said, I don't know. That's up to God. But do we believe the word? Yeah. So we did that. The end of the month, the first month that we did that, right off the top, the first month came to the end, it was like, how come we got money left over? We didn't get paid anymore. We got the same bills, but there's money left over. Let's go to McDonald's. And that was it. From that moment, rough times, easy times, good times, bad times, it didn't matter. God came first. And you know what happened? There came a day. I got time. Okay. There came a day that I had a car. We finally, look, God moved me up. He moved me up to a new job, got a little more. Then another job, got a little more because I had been faithful. It's like, and it was several years. We had bought a car. Woohoo. And we were on the last payment. It was used, but it was a nice used car. It was the last payment. And I was like, oh, man, now we're going to have, extra $300 a month. It's going to be awesome. And we were talking about it. I mean, I literally, and then plum, 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 plum. The car, literally, I sat there and I started laughing. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Here's the cool part. Where it broke down, right there was a driveway. That was someone from the church who had a mechanic shop. Right there. So we pushed it, just had to turn right into the driveway. He said, okay, I'll look at it. Guess what? Engine seized that burned the transmission, and it was going to cost more to fix the car than it was worth. And I laughed. And I said, okay, God, here you go. I'm your servant. You're the king. You want me to go and serve you? You got to get me there. If you don't get me to church, I can't serve you. I'm ready to serve you, provide, okay? Someone gave my family a ride to church that Sunday. Someone came up to me, heard your car broke down. Yeah. Gave me a big old juicy check. Said, go get a car. Okay. Bought my very first new car. God cannot be outdone. Malachi 3:10. You've heard this. So many pastors, this is probably one of the most used verse, but today I want to share it with you. This is probably the only time you'll hear it for the rest of this year. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. God is saying, I dare you. I'm drawing the line. He drew the line in his word. Now, folks, here's the thing. If you've been coming to HPC for any time, you know that in this last year, maybe one or two times have we talked about giving to the Lord because the scripture didn't call for it. But here it's talking about giving. And there is a gift. There are some people who are just givers. They are not able to serve. They don't have the physical capability. Some of them don't have the time, but they give and they support this church abundantly. And there's others who don't make a whole lot, and they're able to serve and they give. You give, give whatever you can do joyfully. Oh, man, pastor says we got to give. Oh. Okay, honey, put it in the box. I can't do it. Don't keep it. Keep it. Wait until you're ready to trust God and believe God and then give and do it joyfully. God, I'm not doing this because I'm expecting anything. I'm doing this because I want you to know I believe you and I love you. And watch. When you do it with the right heart, he don't let you down. If you're doing it going, okay, Lord, I'm giving this. I'm waiting for the check in the mail. When's it coming? I gave. Where's it? Open the window. That's not how it works. Give from your heart. Give when you feel that you can do it because you have faith in God. And watch him do great things. Watch him do amazing, amazing things. One more verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Once again, this is another verse dealing with the gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. So you see that? If you have gifts and you're a believer, you have gifts, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You see, whatever we do, folks, we have to do it by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. I like what Augustine said. He says, breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may be holy. Act in me, Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, Holy Spirit, that I may love but what is holy. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Folks, we need salvation. We need to be filled in the Spirit, and then we need to operate in the gifts of the Spirit for the benefit of all. So let's unwrap our gifts this holiday season and let it change next year. Father God, we thank you, praise you, and honor you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace. We thank you for the giving of your Spirit to us for the benefit of all. And Father, we thank you that in all these things, you are our strength. you are a God, and you love us, and you love your people. And so let us be a part of a church that is growing healthily in love, that we would stir each other up to love and good works by the power of your Spirit. Father, may we be those who don't just say we believe, but respond in belief. And Father, may we also see you glorified. Most of all, may we see you magnified in our lives so that the people around you might praise you for your good works. The people around us would praise you for your good works. God, I just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And Lord, I just want to be a part of your work because I know it's good. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And a lot of people said, amen. Let's stand and sing.